How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is November 14, 2014, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And yes, it is a Figure Four Daily on a Friday here. Some of you are well aware I'm no longer doing the daily update. I have passed on those responsibilities to Bix so that I can concentrate more on doing audio. And that does free up a little bit of time to attempt, as I have done in the past, to move Figure Four Daily back to a daily Monday through Friday schedule. Now, as everybody's well aware, we're already doing Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday, we normally have a guest, as booked by Doc Young. Wednesday, we are usually either joined by Lance Storm or Dr. Lucha. And we will get Dr. Lucha on next week, by the way. We've had some issues with scheduling. Last week, we were going to do a show over the weekend, but for some reason, when I sent him a text during the weekend, he responded, but it never got to me until Monday. So I don't know what happened, but that was a disaster. But he will be back next week, and of course, it's either Dr. Lucha or Lance Storm. And then on Thursdays, Todd Martin is on the show, and that is the usual schedule. So what I'm going to be doing is likely a Monday show and a Friday show. No guest. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 5 hours, I don't know. It depends on how much stuff I've got to talk about. Mostly just throughout the week, making a list of things that I want to discuss here on the show that maybe I didn't have a chance to talk about on some of the other shows. And that is what we're going to kick off here today. So if all goes well, I will be back on Monday with a brand new Figure Four Daily. Now, obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on this weekend, as many of you are well aware. Tomorrow is a 3 MMA show day. There is UFC in Mexico, there is a World Series of Fighting, and there is Bellator. Obviously, Bellator is Tito Ortiz versus Stephen Bonner. I say obviously because if any of you were watching Impact last night or listened to the Brian and Vinny show, you probably heard us talking about the hype special that aired on Spike TV after Impact. I only watched about 5 minutes after Impact, but it was so funny. And I'm actually going to play a clip of it here on the program in just a moment. I was unaware that you could use the term shit on Spike TV, but apparently you can. Stephen Bonner, in the first 5 minutes, actually the first probably 30 seconds of the hype special on Spike TV, talked about how Tito Ortiz was, and I quote, shit. Now, obviously, if you watched it, it's very campy. It is a sit-down back-and-forth between Tito Ortiz and Stephen Bonner. I'm sure that some people probably hated it. I enjoyed it. Listen, I'm a pro wrestling fan, and I don't care what they do to hype up the fight. If the hype interests me and makes me interested in seeing the two guys fight, as long as the fight itself is a real fight in an MMA promotion, I don't really care what they do to hype the thing up. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining. I don't expect it to be much of a fight tomorrow, but I am going to be watching the fight. And as Dave and I have talked about, it's going to be very interesting in 2015 to watch the MMA battle between UFC and Bellator because they are going at it in two completely different ways. UFC strategy is to provide as much content as humanly possible, get their 500 fighters under contract, fights 3 times a year. There's going to be television shows and pay-per-views and specials all the time, Fight Pass, pay-per-view, FS1. I mean, everywhere there's going to be fights. And obviously, if you are a casual fan, a lot of it is just going to go right over your head. You're not going to know who most of the guys are. You're not going to understand the rivalries unless you watch every show. And really, as I've talked about before, I don't really begrudge UFC for what they're doing. We can argue, as we have, that the overexposure of the product is going to make it very difficult to create stars. It is going to make it very difficult for fans to keep up. It is going to make it very, very difficult to do a lot of things that we traditionally see as the goals of an MMA or pro wrestling promotion. But you know what? They're making a lot of money. They're making a lot of money off their television deals all around the world. Their idea is to make this a worldwide sport where events are airing all the time, all over the world. They make their money off television rights fees. They're making good money off Fight Pass. They're still making good money off pay-per-view. And you know what? If that's the way they want to run their business, great. More power to them. They're a huge success doing it that way. But if we look at it from the perspective of how popular is it in the United States in terms of like your casual fans, is it a mainstream sport right now? The answer to me is no. I can't even tell you how many friends I used to have that were such hardcore UFC fans. They loved coming over for shows. They knew all the guys. They loved watching it. And now all of those same people don't watch anything anymore. Maybe they'll watch a big pay-per-view if somebody that they remember is headlining. But there's a lot of people I know that are no longer watching the events. And if you look at the pay-per-view numbers and some of the television numbers, I mean, there is a decline in interest among fans in this country to UFC. Now, I'm not saying that next year, all of a sudden, Bellator is going to be the next hot big thing. But they are running a completely different business model that is designed to make their monthly events big events on Spike TV. They're running their events in such a way that the idea is more than just selling these shows all over the world and making tons of money, which obviously they want to make a lot of money, but they want to create stars. They want to have a smaller roster. I'm talking like a fifth of the roster, maybe even less that UFC has. We're talking less than 100 fighters probably will be fighting for Bellator. But the idea is they want you, the Bellator fan, to know every single one of them, to understand who is fighting who in all of the big fights, and to make these monthly actually there's going to be monthly events and there are going to be bigger events every 3 months. Those quarterly events, they want to be big time events where you know the entire card, you know all of the guys fighting and why, and it is a big deal to you, the viewer. And it is, as noted, a different business strategy than what WWE is doing. And it's going to be very interesting to see how each company fares in 2015. So I am somewhat excited for that. And I love Dave, but when the Kyle O'Reilly show went off the air yesterday, we talked to Kyle off the air for a couple of minutes, and Dave was so excited. He could barely contain his excitement about the February UFC event from the Staples Center. The card, by the way, Chris Weidman against Vitor Belfort, Ronda Rousey and Kat Zingano, Bigfoot Silva against Frank Mir, and Jacare Souza against Yoel Romero. That card is awesome. The only thing is, Dave was so excited, and all I could think was, dude, this is the end of February that this show is taking place, virtually March. And I pray to God that the card that I just called is the card that's going to take place. But my gut tells me, by the time that show rolls around, that card is going to be nothing like what I just read right now. Because to me, getting excited over any card like 3 or 4 months down the road, it's just like a recipe for disappointment. I mean, the year that we have had with fighters and fights dropping off in UFC, I mean, to me, if anybody thinks that's going to change in 2015, I got news for you. That ain't going to change. It's going to be exactly the same in 2015 as it was in 2014. Maybe we'll have slightly less people dropping off. Maybe we'll even have more. But the idea that any show that we're excited about 4 months down the road, all I'm saying is, don't get too excited about it. I'm excited for tomorrow's shows because, like, well, weigh-ins haven't happened yet, but they're about to. But my guess is that 95% of the fights on the three shows tomorrow are actually going to take place. So now I can get excited about it. But the idea of getting excited for a show that's like 3 months down the road, I just think that in 2015, if you get in the habit of doing that, you're going to be a very disappointed fight fan because fights fall off every single day. And I'm talking big fights, I'm talking champions getting injured, all of that. So we'll see what happens, but let's play part of this this Bellator show here. This was the hype special that aired on Spike TV after Impact last night. I'll play about a minute of it, but just 1 minute will give you a great taste of what is in store.
I had no reservations about coming here tonight to see Tito. I can't wait. You don't scare me, Tito. You're shit.
Didn't think it was gonna happen. All of a sudden, I get a call saying that he was sitting in front of Stephen Bonner. I was like, are you guys sure you wanna do this?
Tonight, at an undisclosed location, Tito Ortiz and Stephen Bonner come face to face to continue MMA's most explosive war of words.
can't wait to see what this phony says tonight, but there's no one to hold us back.
Tonight, I expect Tito to get frustrated, fumble on his words, maybe lash out at me, and I hope so. I'd love for him to hit me.
The Tito Bonner feud has been raging for 2 months, since their fight announcement turned into a brawl.
He's the most selfish, self-absorbed, arrogant sack of crap. Poor Jenna. I don't know how she put up with you all those years.
You talk about my family? You talk about my fans? This shit gets personal.
I could feel the tension that night as soon as they both walked into the cage.
I just saw this as an opportunity to let the world know what a sack of manure Tito Ortiz is.
You know, I talk a lot of smack when I fight, but just to get in the guy's head, Bonner's crossed the line beyond that. Talking about my ex, talking about my fans, talking about my family.
Awesomely hilarious. And that leads, of course, to the big sit-down interview. So if you want to check it out, it's up right now on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And obviously, we're going to have videos up for UFC and World Series of Fighting, I'm sure, as well. But there you go. Tomorrow, Tito Ortiz and Stephen Bonner. Hope everybody is ready for the Battle of the Ages. I should also mention here, a lot of talk about TNA and Spike TV. Obviously, we reviewed Impact last night. And for those of you that are fans of Impact on the Brian and Vinny Show, one more week. And after that, we'll have about a month and a half at least of alternate programming to review on the Brian and Vinny Show. And I guess during that period, I'll figure out what I want to do. If we start reviewing other stuff and the show is a huge hit, it may not bode well for TNA. If people are clamoring for a review of TNA, maybe we will review them again. I will likely at the end of the day, because it's my job, I will almost certainly end up at the end of the day getting Destination America, because, hey, there's a lot of shows about Bigfoot on that channel that I can watch as well, so added bonus. And I'm sure I will watch it every single week, because I think inevitably at the end of the day, I probably will end up writing Death of TNA, so I got to watch all of the shows. I may not subject Vinny to it. We'll see. Maybe I'll just watch the shows, talk about it here, and let Vinny watch something that he actually enjoys, because Vinny can be motivated when he's watching something that he enjoys. He doesn't always have to suffer. So I'll figure out what to do there. But there was a lot of discussion, and there has been, on the board and elsewhere, about TNA. A lot of people saying some interesting things that I just have to comment on here. There was a post where one person, and I'm pretty sure he was being completely sarcastic, but then other people started picking up on it. And I guess it is a talking point among TNA, hardcore TNA fans as well, so I may as well address it here. He was talking about a comparison between TNA going from Spike TV to Destination America, and I guess comparing that to when WWE went from USA to Spike TV, which actually wasn't even Spike TV at the time. WWE was doing huge numbers, gigantic success on the USA Network during the boom period. And in 2000, they ended up moving from USA Network to what was at the time TNN, the Nashville Network. And obviously, that's what some people thought was a huge step down. You know, far, far more people were watching USA than were watching the Nashville Network. And WWE ended up going to the Nashville Network. And what happened? Within a couple of weeks, they were doing very, very similar numbers to what they were doing on USA. Wrestling fans all found TNN, and it ended up being all right for them, and then 5 years later, they ended up going back to USA Network, and that's another story entirely. But the original move from USA to TNN, some people, mostly hardcore TNN fans, I don't think anyone on our site is really taking this statement seriously, but TNA going from Spike to Destination America, maybe they're saying it'll be a very similar situation. Well, a couple of things. Why it will not be anywhere near the same situation. Number one, when WWE jumped from USA to the Nashville Network, if you look at the viewership numbers, if you look at the potential universe for USA and TNN at the time, they weren't that far apart. There is a big difference between people not watching a network and a network that people are not able to watch. In other words, TNN was in almost the exact same number of homes as the USA Network. It was very, very similar. So the fact that people didn't watch TNN wasn't really that big a deal. WWE jumped from USA to TNN, and virtually immediately, fans figured out where TNN was on the dial. The big difference, obviously, between that situation and TNA going to Destination America. And by the way, obviously, it's not 100% confirmed they're going to Destination America. All of this could be old news by Monday, because maybe they'll end up signing with somewhere else. But Destination America is in less than 50% of the homes in the United States. And I don't remember, I should have gone up and checked, but the Spike TV numbers, I mean, we're talking like over 100 million homes. Very close to the total number of homes that have cable are able to get Spike TV. So this is not a fair comparison at all. It is not going from two networks that have an equal number of homes making the station available. What it is probably they're going to a network that is in about half of the homes that Spike TV is in, probably even less than half. For example, as Dave mentioned, I don't have Destination America, but I could order it. It is on a tier that I could order. Now, even though I can't watch it right now, my home is listed as a home that could have it. So, as he noted, if you go to Wikipedia and it says that Destination America is in 52% of the homes that have cable, all that means is that the tier is available in 52% of the homes, but that does not mean that 52% of the homes are actually subscribed to the tier that has it. So I don't even know what the number is, but it is much lower than 52% of the homes in this country. It could be 45, it could be 40, it could be 35. Who knows what the actual number of people that subscribe to Destination America is. So right out of the gate, I mean, if they're doing about 1 million viewers right now on Spike TV, to me, the best that they could hope for is about half of that. I mean, if they do 400,000 or 500,000 viewers on Destination America, I mean, that'll be great, great news for TNA on that network. So there's no way that they're going to do 1 million viewers on Destination America. It is literally, I would say, impossible. While it is in 1 million homes, the reality is I guess percentage to percentage or whatever, we're looking at maybe between 300 and 500,000 viewers on Destination America. So that's number one. And number two, a very important point. When WWE moved from USA Network to TNN in 2000, not only were they just jumping from one network to a largely comparable network in terms of potential viewership, but on USA Network at the time, they were making about $5 million a year for their programming on the USA Network. And when they moved from USA to TNN, their rights fees increased from about $5 million a year to about $28 million a year on TNN. So not only was it a jump to a comparable station in terms of viewers, but their rights fees went up six times, from $5 million to $28 million. Now, I don't know, but my guess is, and this would be a fairly educated guess, my guess is that TNA is not going to quintuple or sextuple their rights fees going from Spike TV to Destination America. Somebody on the board noted that, why is everyone talking about money losses? Because TNA has already been cutting costs. They've been cutting costs already in preparation for this move. No, they didn't. They cut costs because they had to cut costs. Secondly, they didn't know where they were going. They had no idea where they were going. They had no idea what they were going to make off wherever they were going. And the reality is, I would bet good money that they are not going to get the same amount of money from Destination America that they are getting from Spike TV. Maybe they will. I would say it's virtually impossible they will get more. I will say it's highly likely that they will get less. So, yes, in order to continue running on Destination America, it is likely they will have to cut costs even further than what they cut when they were running these shows in these buildings that were very sad to watch on television. Now, I mean, they could. I mean, it's possible to continue cutting costs, sign people to lower money deals, and continue on, and maybe they could even be in the black. But it's going to be a very different business model. They're going to be running a show in front of significantly fewer viewers. That is inevitable. They're almost inevitably going to be making less money. So any comparisons that people are making anywhere on the internet about how TNA to Destination America may be similar to WWE's switch to TNN from USA in 2000, I mean, it's nowhere comparable. I mean, this to me is like when people were talking about how we may have a new Monday Night War back in like 2010 when TNA decided they were going to go head-to-head with Raw. I mean, we all knew what was going to happen. Anybody who thought about it knew what was going to happen going in. But they convinced themselves that it was very similar to the situation in 1995, and it was nothing like that. And at the end of the day, that was, in fact, exactly how it turned out. And I should note also that another discussion people are having is if TNA goes out of business, where does everybody go? And people were talking about Ring of Honor, and I had mentioned this a couple of months ago, but the word from Ring of Honor is they have nothing against the talent in TNA. There's a lot of talent in TNA that maybe in the future they may be interested in, but right now they have a roster. They have storylines with virtually everybody on the roster. The roster is full, and they have no room for virtually anybody else. Maybe one guy, maybe two guys. But the idea that there would be a giant influx of talent to Ring of Honor, that is not going to happen. They have got a roster. They're happy with their roster. They've got storylines with the roster, and the roster is full. So what that would mean for the TNA talent, where they would go, I don't know. I think that a lot of them could make some money on the indie scene if the thing went under, probably for a year or two, maybe even more. I mean, think about like a guy like AJ Styles. I mean, he made so much money when he left TNA to go on the indie scene. And obviously not everybody in a TNA is AJ Styles. But I'm sure a lot of those guys could make a fair amount of money for a few years on the indie scene. And there's significantly more indies that need to run shows than Ring of Honor. So guys would have jobs, and I think a lot of them would probably make comparable or more money going on the indie scene. So the gist of this is no room in Ring of Honor, but we would see where everybody ended up going. If you have not watched SmackDown at the time you're listening to this, I've noted Cesaro, Ziggler, and Tyson Kidd apparently is awesome. I got more emails about that today from people who actually have been able to watch the show. And they said, go out of your way to watch the three-way. It is great. Ziggler versus Cesaro versus Tyson Kidd on SmackDown for the Intercontinental title. So check that out tonight. And also tonight, After Dark Radio, Linda Godfrey is going to be on. She's going to be talking monsters throughout North America. Werewolves and Bigfoot and all of this crazy stuff. And of course, that show is available for free at 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific tonight, 2 a.m. Eastern. It streams from AfterDarkRadioShow.com or the Dark Matter Radio Network. If you've never heard the show, you can get the After Dark Radio Network for free on TuneIn Radio, or you can go to ArtBell.com. The Dark Matter Radio Network is where Art Bell is going to be returning in 2015. So head over there and check it out. There's programming going on all the time, and I will be live tonight with Linda Godfrey on the show, so make sure you check that out. Different from this stream that you're listening to right now, and the After Dark Radio Show stream as well. Go to the Dark Matter Radio stream. It's all up right now on the front page of AfterDarkRadioShow.com and Dark Matter Radio. And, of course, I will have a link up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. And, hey, if you're listening to this show for free and you like what you hear, Figure Four Daily every weekday. And in addition to that, I usually do about two shows a day. This weekend, I will have a Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer, only for subscribers. Sunday, we will have a brand new Brian and Vinny show. We had a Brian and Vinny show last night. Monday, Wrestling Observer Radio and Figure Four Daily. Tuesday, Figure Four Daily and the Brian and Vinny show. Wednesday, Figure Four Daily and Wrestling Observer Radio. The list goes on and on. There's about, if you sign up, there's usually between 12 and 15 new radio shows every single week for subscribers. And if you sign up, you get full access to our archive, which features over 6,000 audio shows dating back to 2005. Keep in mind, WWE Network's entire library, 2,500 hours. Our entire library is 6,000 hours. So if you love this show, sign up, jump into the archives. We got all sorts of great shows, interviews, and all sorts of great stuff. Plus, you get full access to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, and more. So sign up today, everybody, and that is it from here. We'll talk to you later on tonight with Linda Godfrey. Figure Four Daily here at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll talk to you again after a while.